I just want to talk about light, the light that's in us. You know, Jesus said that in him was life, and the life in him was the light of life. The life of the Father in Jesus is what gave him the ability to do everything that he did. Jesus said, I would that you be one with me, just like I'm one with my Father. And we always seem to see ourselves up, God up here and ourselves down here. We can't ever see ourselves mixed together with him. But he said, if you really want to give God the glory, do his name, we're going to have to take into consideration what the cross really meant. Jesus exchanged his life for ours. Everything that Jesus had, he gave to us. Everything. It says in John chapter 1, to as many as receive him, he gave us the power to become the sons of God. And we're born not of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. And of his fullness have we all received. So Jesus gave us everything. And the right to be one with the Father. And the right to do the Father's work. In Philippians, I was just reading this the other day and thinking about myself. And I have a grandson that's going to Caris Bible College. And he went through the first year. And he's had a terrible summer. It's like he just can't seem to get himself in order. And the harder he tries, the worse it gets. And you know, it's do I really have it? Where is this? And in Philippians it says, Paul's saying, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he said, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. We know a lot about the power of his resurrection, but it seems like we still haven't quite got it all. And we feel bad because we don't seem to we look at ourselves still and we go, what's the matter with me? And there's a problem with that. He says, not that I've already attained, I count myself not to have apprehended. He said, I really know a lot of things that I'm really not exactly walking in the way I want to be, but I know it's there. And so we look at ourselves and we begin to look at ourselves outside of Christ in us, and we think, I haven't really gotten there. But you're not going to get there by yourself. It's only Christ in you that gives you the power to say that you have what you have. He says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. So, what is the mark? Christ in me, Paul said, is what brings me into his glory. It's what gives me the ability to do everything that God has called me to do. It says, be followers together with me in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, and mark them which walk as us for an example. Pay attention to those people who are Christ in me minded, because they're the ones that have what you're looking for, what the world is looking for. There's many who claim to be Christians in verse 18, but they're actually enemies of the cross. And you know, I claim to be a Christian all my life, but I think I was one of those enemies of the cross because I never really portrayed the success of the cross. We say Jesus did everything, but not quite enough to take care of all of me. And I was still trying to fix me, we're still trying to overcome the sin factor. When Jesus said, I've already done it. You know what the definition for sin is? To miss the mark. And if you see yourself as less than, then you really can't glorify God. You really can't be an example to other people of who God really is. Because he came to save the world. He came to set us free. And if you portray yourself as a captive, then that's what people will see. So today, as a Christian, we're looking at this world, and it's a tough world out there. We see all kinds of things. And it's very easy to forget who you are in Christ and to get off on little sidetracks. We do it all the time. Something comes along and your feelings are hurt, you sort of go this way. Something comes along and you feel threatened, and it's easy to to get your mind out of off of Christ in me. But Christ in me is the only way that we are going to be able to walk this walk. In Colossians, it says, to whom God would make known what the riches and the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then this is what he's called us to do. Whom we preach, putting everyone in mind and teaching every man that we might present everyone perfect in Christ Jesus. We're here to be ministers of reconciliation, ministers of the goodness of God. In Psalms 91, it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. He's my strength. In God will I trust. It's only in the secret place. It's hidden in him that we have what we need. It says, surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You know, we have an enemy. And he's like the fowler. He's always setting up snares, setting traps to try to get us to see ourselves out of in Christ. To see the world without the eyes of God in mind. Mickey has a shirt that says, but God. And we look at the world and we just want to run and cry. It seems like it's overwhelming. They're winning, it looks like. But we don't see it with God in mind. And then it says, he will deliver you from the noisome pestilence. And that word pestilence just means ruin. You hear voices all the time, you're not going to make it, this isn't going to work. Look what's happening, look what's going on in this world. And it's noisy, and it's very easy to get your attention. But then it says, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will trust. His truth is our shield and our buckler. So what is it that we have to fight the world with? To ward off all the arrows from the enemy that are coming against us. It's truth. And it says his truth is our shield and our buckler. And a buckler means something that surrounds you like a hedge. And I found this picture here. Actually, it's a bubble. If we walk in the bubble of his truth, then we are protected from everything that's going on in this world. Everything's on the outside of him, but in the midst of this bubble, his truth is my shield and my buckler. His truth is the one that we, when we walk in, then those things that we see with our eyes don't so easily distract us. Jesus said, I came for only one reason, and that was to bear witness of the truth. And you know, then Pilate said, when he was standing before Pilate, when Jesus said that, and Pilate says, what is truth? And you know, the world has got their version of truth. The world has a flesh view. They go by what they see, what they hear, what they feel, they do what they want to, and they see everything as though there is no God. But truth is something that can only be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And he said, God had given him power over all flesh. He came to give eternal life to as many as the Father gave him. And eternal life is knowing God. He came to reveal the Father for who he was. And then Jesus said, I finished the work you've called me to do. I glorified the Father on this earth. And then he goes on in John chapter 17, verse 13 through 18. He says, this whole chapter is a prayer to the Father. And Jesus says, now I come to you, Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The only way to have his joy fulfilled in us is to walk as Jesus walked, according to the truth. There's no other way. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray that you should, not that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. And as thou hast sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. So God is sending us to be this bubble of truth that is here to affect the world. There's only one way to understand the things of the kingdom. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. They have to be revealed to you by the Spirit. The Spirit is the only one that can reveal to you spiritual truth, because it can't get it with your natural eyes. You can't just look at things without having the discernment of the Holy Spirit and really understand what's going on. So one of the things I did in this book that I wrote was I began to look up all the scriptures on the Holy Spirit and grace. And I found out that grace is really God speaking to your heart from the inside. And the Holy Spirit is the one that makes us God within conscious. He's the one that makes us feel loved by God. He's the one that gives us hope. He's the one that makes us understand that we are righteous because Jesus made us righteous. And he's the one that opens up our eyes to see spiritual truth. So without the Holy Spirit, we really can't, there's no way to imagine the things that God has prepared for us. And we have a hard time. Sometimes we're like Paul when he said, I count not myself to have obtained, but I'm pressing toward the mark. I understand it somewhat, but because we still have our eyes to look at things, we can't quite grab it with our mind, but with the Spirit you can. And so that's kind of what happened in the beginning. God created us in his image, and he told us to go and take dominion and to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And right away, Adam and Eve began looking at themselves without the presence of God in them in mind. And God, from the very beginning, wanted to be the source of everything. But they looked at everything and they said, now what do we have to do? And when they began to do things their way, they lost sight of everything. And as time went by, it says in Genesis chapter 6 and 7 that man became increasingly wicked. He was doing his own thing. And God says, I'm going to have to just destroy him from the face of this earth. So he brought a great flood. I said, I'm going to destroy every living thing. And in Genesis chapter 8, the last verse, after the flood was gone and the waters began to recede, God says, I am never again going to destroy every living thing. Because it did nothing to change his imagination. Unless the Spirit is the one that's leading our thinking, we won't see God. You can't see God. You have to see him by the Spirit. And so he said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And in Hebrews chapter 10, it says that by one sacrifice, Jesus perfected us forever. And it says, I'm going to write my words on their hearts. I'm going to put my Spirit inside and I'm going to reveal to them God's truth. God's not remembering our sin. Because sin causes us to see ourselves outside of Christ in me. And that causes us to miss everything that he's called us to do. But in John chapter 14, in 13, Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away, and where I'm going, you can't come. But you will come later. And in John chapter 14, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you might be also. And we're always looking for what we already have. He said in John chapter 14, the one that was with you will be in you. And in the day that the Spirit comes upon you, you'll know that you're one with me. You are in my Father, and my Father is in you, and I am in him. So it's the Holy Spirit that is our God connection. Even right now, we can't see Jesus. We don't see the Father. But he said, I'm right here. I'm within you. I'm right here. And the Holy Spirit is the one that connects us to that. Right now in this world, we see a lot of things that are scary. A lot of things that seem like Christians aren't making any ground. But there was a time in the Bible, remember Elisha? And he was with his servant Gehazi. And they were out, and there was a vast army that was assembled together against them. And the servant was afraid. And Elisha says, God, open his eyes so he can see what's really out there. And there were more on God's side than there were on the enemy's side. God is here for us. He's ready to take care of us. He's right here. We can't see him, but we know he's here because the Spirit inside of us is telling us that he's right here. The world may not see him. It said in John 14 that the world won't see him anymore. The world doesn't see Jesus, but we see him because we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us to tell us that. And he's training us to be Spirit of God present with me right now. And it says in Psalms 91, as it goes down past those other verses, only with your eyes will you see the reward of the wicked. I'm looking at it with my eyes, and it seems like the world has gone crazy. And it's happening right here in this city. You see things that with your eyes that seem to defy the presence of the living God. But God says, but with the Spirit, you'll see something totally different. I am at work. I am here to bring deliverance. It's not by might or power, but it's by my Spirit. So in Luke chapter 17, the Pharisees said, when is God going to set up his kingdom again? And the scripture says, the kingdom's not going to come by observation. It's not going to be a see it with your eyes thing. Because the kingdom is within you. The kingdom of God is right here. At work inside of you and you and you and you and me, all of us. He's at work inside of us. And it says, there's going to be a day when you desire to see the Son of Man and you won't see him. And they will say, well, he's over here, or he's over there. He says, don't pay attention to any of that. He said in verse number 24, for as lightning that lightens out one part of the heaven and shines to the other, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. And the word lightning means to enlighten, to illuminate. It's you can see him right now by the Holy Spirit. It comes by revelation. The kingdom's at work. It's all around us. It's surrounding us. We're not losing ground. We're gaining ground. But the Spirit of God has to open up your eyes so you can see this. And the Bible says we are the light of the world, because Jesus is in us and it's his presence in us that enables us to do everything, then we are the light of the world. God says he would never again curse the earth. I'm never again going to destroy every living thing. But there's a scripture in 2 Peter. And it says, it's not my will that any perish. And it says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. And in our minds, we think, okay, well, let's see. It's going to be an atomic bomb. It's going to be he's going to just destroy this world. But how does God deal with the things of this world? By his Spirit. Is not my word like a fire that breaks the rock in pieces, he says? Is not the Holy Spirit working through us, each one of us, what is really at work in the world? He doesn't have to burn up the world with a fire. He can cause all of the principles that the world seems to operate on to become as nothing when you get a revelation. And one by one, He's called us to be a light to represent His presence. In Revelation, it says that I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In the beginning, God was with Adam and Eve. And in the end, He said, I have made a way for you to be with me, that where I am, you might be also. I am, and I was, and I will be to come. The Bible says that we were in Him before we were ever taken out of Him. So we were. And right now I am one with Him. But the Bible says that His Word is eternal. It's incorruptible. It can't be destroyed. The Word in me is what makes you and I eternal. I am, I was, and I will be to come. His presence, His Spirit has always been at work in the hearts of men. It says that Jesus was the firstborn, the first witness, the first King of Kings. And He's called us to be kings and priests in His kingdom. He said in Acts chapter 1, when the disciples said, when is the kingdom going to come? And Jesus said, the Father has put that in His own power. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have power to perceive the things of the kingdom. And you will be my witnesses. We are the ones that are here to bring light in this world. The presence of God inside of us, God is using to bring other people to see the light. Jesus said, you will see me coming in the clouds. And remember in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about all the faithful men and women of God. But in chapter 12, it says, therefore, seeing this great cloud of witnesses, let us go on to serve the Lord. So people who know God inspire other people, reveal God to other people. And He said, you will see me coming in a cloud, a great company of people. Each one of us, as the presence of God inside of us is at work, we lead other people to see Jesus. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And He said, if I abide in you, when people see you, they will see the Father. When we're being led by His truth. Jesus was crucified because He said, I'm going to destroy the temple, and in 3 days I'm going to raise it up again. Did He destroy the temple? Was the temple destroyed? The temple that was a physical building was destroyed. But where's the temple now? He raised up the temple within us. The kingdom is working from within us. The kingdom is alive and progressing in us and through us. It says in Matthew 24, watch, for you don't know when He will come. Be ready. At any moment, the Holy Spirit could use any one of you. You might be in the store, and then God will say, talk to this person. And He said, I will manifest my presence through you. It says, the kingdom won't come with observation. And we're expecting God to just come and take us out of this mess because it's getting so bad that we can't do anything with it. But the word come means, in the Greek, means it's present and continuing to be present. He's coming and He will continue to come. He's coming in us and He will continue to come in your children. When Jesus comes, that word's when He makes an appearance, you never know. Be ready. because the Holy Spirit in you, God will use to open up people's eyes to see the presence of God. It's hard for us to see ourselves that way. We don't see ourselves filled with that kind of glory and honor. We don't. It's really hard to think, could we really be what God is using that way? He said, if Christ is in you and you're being led by His Word, when people see you, they'll see the Father. When we see ourselves as less than, you can't manifest God. You have to see that I am filled with glory and honor. The Spirit of the living God is at work in me. This was God's plan from the very beginning. Jesus was a visible expression of His invisible Father. And He said, now, I've called you to go and do my work. I've called you to become a living manifestation of the presence of God. There's four parables when it talks about the coming of the Lord, and they all relate to how we're dealing with things. In Matthew 24, there was the parable of the two servants. One servant was there. He ministered to the people. He fed the people. He could see their needs and met people. And the other servant saw everything that was going on in this world, and he started treating everybody just like the world was treating him. In the midst of everything going on in this world, how do we see ourselves? Do we see people past what we see? Jesus always said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. I get so mad at some of the things that you hear on TV, the politicians. You just want to go out and... But Jesus always has the attitude, they just don't know. They just don't know. Love them with my kind of love and you will win them over. You might not see it happen right away. But God says, I lay down my life for you. Jesus said, I lay down my life for you. You can lay down your life for others. And then there's the parable of the 10 virgins. 10 virgins came waiting for the presence of their Jesus, the groom. 5 had oils in their lamp and 5 didn't. So 5 of them were equipped with the Holy Spirit. And 5 of them just depended on, they had no light, because the Holy Spirit is the light, God's kind of light. It opens up your eyes to see His kind of things. And so it says, He made an appearance and the 5 went in to be with Him and the other 5 were left without. It says, one will be in the field. One will be taken, and the other one will be left. One will get a revelation of His presence right here. And one will miss it all because we were looking at things through the eyes of the flesh. And then it has the parable of the talents. And parables are just stories that you can relate to, but they're not meant to be taken literally. And so it says, the master was away, so he gave one 5 talents, one 2, one, according as each one was able, and he left them in charge of everything. So we read the parable and we think, well, a talent is money, because money is what a talent means, but that's a parable. What is it that we have to give to the world? A revelation of the Spirit. He's given you some things that you know that you know that you know. He said, go and use them. You go to minister to people and you begin to use those, you'll double yourself. You go and use what God's giving you and you love on people the way God has given you to love on people, you will double yourself. But one person was afraid and he hid his talent because he said, my God's a hard master. God's given us revelations. He's given us glimpses of His presence. And He wants us to be a steward of those things. And then there was the parable of the sheep and the goats. And the sheep were the ones, they saw people's needs, they fed people, they clothed people, they ministered to them in the midst of where they were. And Jesus said, you've done it unto them, you've done it unto me. But the goats, I think those were the ones that were just maybe like we were before, looking at everybody in light of sin. They beat up on people. And God says, you're really not doing my work. I have work for you to do. And I came here for you to manifest my presence. And in Revelation, I just want to read you a couple of scriptures. And I just really want, the whole thing is just to put us in mind of who we are. Jesus said, I came to glorify the Father. Now you go do the same. As you get a revelation of Christ in you, and that revelation flows through you, and people see you, they get a revelation of God. And in Revelations chapter 21, and John said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And then he said, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I saw no temple, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So who did God call to be kings and priests? It's his light in us. We're the temple. We're the ones that God is revealing himself through. God wants to use you as a light bearer. He wants to use you to reveal the presence of Jesus to this world. He's coming. He's going to minister to people. But he's coming for you. He's coming today to manifest himself through you. He's going to come tomorrow and manifest himself through other people. We are the ones that are filling the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. So in Revelation chapter 22, he said, he showed me a pure river of water of life, as clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. Where's the throne? In us. We are the throne room of God. And there's a pure river of life that's flowing out from us. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Remember the parable of the vine and its branches? Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You're the ones that are here to display my glory. And there shall no more be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face and his name and shall be in their foreheads. Whose foreheads? Ours. When people see us, they'll see the Father. For the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So, the light of the Lord is shining in us, through us. His word is our shield and our buckler. Surrounded by his word, when people see us and the word is going forth through us, they see the Father. And all over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world. You know how you form a cloud? Thousands and thousands of droplets of water come together and form a cloud. So we are the ones that are here to reveal the presence of God in this world, in this earth. He's chosen to manifest himself through us. And when we look at our country, I think about this verse in Chronicles. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. What does that mean? seek my presence within them and turn from their wicked ways. What are our wicked ways? Doing our own thing. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We're looking at everything that's going on in this country, but what it really depends upon is us seeking the face of God. Us looking for His presence. Us being willing to let His Word be our shield. To let His Word be that which encases us. To let His Word flow through us. We're the answer. We're waiting. Now, Andrew says, you've already got it. And I think we have more than we think we have. He's using us. He's displaying His presence through us. He said He's coming in the clouds. But the word coming means it's only in the present and the present perfect. It's not over. It's a continuous thing. He's been manifesting Himself through people ever since Jesus ascended. And He continues to do that. Through you, through me, through those that will come after us. He is filling the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It says in Daniel that His dominion is everlasting. He will always be in control. And I believe that the greatest movement ever is going to come through those that we least expect. Through people like that, through people like us. I believe that we need to begin to see ourselves. We need to give God the glory due His name. Give Jesus the glory due His name. What did He really do on the cross? He gave you everything He had. His glory, His power, His position with the Father, His honor, His work. He said, I've glorified the Father. I've finished my work. Now you go do that same work. His work is our work. And just as Jesus was a living manifestation of His invisible Father, He said, now you are. And I know that the Scripture said, if they had have known what would have happened to Jesus, happened after they crucified Jesus, they would have never crucified Him. What happened? He multiplied Himself. You can't get rid of Him. He just multiplied Himself. And He's continuing to multiply Himself. It seems like countries that are taken over, you look at the people in Iran, thousands of people are coming to Christ. They're standing in the streets willing to die. It seems like when the enemy closes in, God has an even greater movement. And I think they're willing to do it with gladness because they see His presence in them. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Word in us is eternal. You were, you are, and you will be to come. His presence in you just continues to spread. And if we could only see what He created us to be, we're not just a sinner saved by grace. We're not less than. He said, I want you to be one with me in the same exact way that Jesus is. They were so close. And we hear the sayings, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I believe we're missing a very important part. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the body of Christ. Because we're one with all of that. And if we only could see what God sees. When we look at ourselves, why do we have such a hard time? I count not myself to have attained. I begin to look at myself. Because we have an enemy. And he knows exactly what you were created to be. He knows exactly what God meant for you to do. He meant for us to be witnesses, to be manifestations of the living presence, to be the light of the world. And the light shines in darkness. And the darkness is going to see it. So I just wanted to encourage you today to just know there's more going on than you think. There's more going on in you. You're more powerful than you think. So thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you for the work that Jesus did on the cross, that we might become one with you, that we might walk together with you as Adam and Eve were created to walk with you. I thank you, Father, for your manifested presence, your presence within us. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that reveals to us the things of the kingdom, that reveals to us your presence that's with us always, wherever we go. You're with us. You're there with us. And I thank you, Father. I thank you that there's more going on out there than meets our eye. And I thank you for the hope and the peace and the joy that you fill us with. I thank you for the sense of righteousness, the sense of being loved by you. I thank you, Father, that you guide us and you direct us. You haven't left us alone. And we just declare there's more of us than there are of those that are fighting against you. Thank you, Jesus. And I just declare, even in this land, in this country, that you would open up our eyes, that even though we maybe become angry at what we hear, that you would help us to keep an humble heart and remember they just don't know. They just don't know the truth. And you would help us to manifest you in a way that would glorify you, Father, that we wouldn't react the way the world is reacting, but you would help us to be a light in the world. You'd help us not to compromise, but at the same time to display your sense of value in all people. Thank you, Jesus. And we just pray over this country. We pray over this world, and we just include you and say, thank you, Father, that it's not by might or power. It's by your Spirit that this mountain is moved. It's by your Spirit in us that the mountains in our lives are removed. We just thank you for that, Father. I thank you that you've given us the power to say, like Jesus said, be healed, be made well, be made whole. You've given us the power to speak your words. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.